site, thericksmithshow.com. So some interesting news coming out of Western Pennsylvania today at the Allegheny Courthouse. Pennsylvania State Senators Lindsey Williams, Jay Costa, and Vince Hughes, along with a bunch of, you know, local elected folks, the Allegheny Central Labor Council folks, a bunch of union workers, introduced the Workplace Freedom Act. Now, as we've been talking about for a while now, since last June and the Janus decision coming out of the Supreme Court, you're going to see states doing a bunch of things to protect workers in their state. And look, we need to right here in Pennsylvania. So I'm thrilled to see this, which is why I've asked Senator Lindsey Williams to come talk with us and you know, find out a little bit about this and, well, find out how we get it moved forward. Senator Williams, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure. Anytime, Rick.
Let me start off with saying congratulations on your electoral victory. I was thrilled to see that you had come out on top, and good for you.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a tight one. I bit off all my fingernails on election night, but worked really hard, and there were a lot of people who worked very hard to help get me elected.
Yeah, we need more labor-friendly people in the halls of power, and I'm thrilled to see that. Let's talk about this piece of legislation. As I'm reading through it, I'm going, yes, it's about time. Yes, we need to be doing this. Walk me through what it would do.
So it basically does card checks for public sector workers. So when there's a public sector worker in a workplace and they have, you know, more than 50% of people signing cards, that they can just join their union, and we can, you know, that government agency can recognize that union rather than forcing a costly, time-intensive election process.
Yeah, I mean, I remember back, years ago during the Bush years and into the early Obama years when EFCA, the Employee Free Choice Act, was being floated. And, you know, EFCA was such a weak piece of legislation, in my view, that they actually thought George Bush would sign it. But I remember, you know, that card check portion, everyone was losing their mind. And I'm going, no, this is how it started. This was how they did it originally. This is how our grandparents built the most prosperous working class in the history of civilization.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard. As long as the majority of people want it, you bring it in. Because right now, they're literally just wasting taxpayer dollars to fight it. You know, it's our money that they're wasting. And whether we just form the union, get to the work of, you know, addressing the issues in the workplace so our, you know, the people that we're paying could be more effective in their jobs.
Yeah. Now, as I understand, this is solely in response to the Supreme Court's decision in the Janus versus AFSCME last June. This is only for public sector workers, right?
This is only for public sector workers. And it does a few other little things, too, that I found. You know, my job right before coming to the Senate was working with Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers. And so there's some provisions in there to also make it easier for the union to know who the new hires are, because a lot of times with these, you know, jobs that are all over the place, the union doesn't know who is hired, so it would also require them to turn over the names of the new hires and their contact information so that the union could go and sign them up and let them know what resources are available with their union, and so that worker can get involved in their union.
No, I know in places that I've worked, and I've never worked in the public sector, but in the private sector, you know, if a new employee came on, the union had an opportunity to say, hey, you know, this is your contract. This is what it took to get this contract. This is why you pay your dues. This is why you become a member of the union. And you have that beginnings of a conversation instead of, you know, trying to hide them away and play this cat and mouse game. Because I've always believed the union and the employer should be in a partnership together to make sure that the employer gets the best outcome and the employee gets the best outcome possible.
Exactly. And I think I heard the new chancellor of the PASHE system here in Pennsylvania said just that, you know, if the management and the workers don't work together, it's mutually assured destruction. Like, we need to be working together. And so this is a really good step in that direction.
So, you know, let me ask you the other part of this, because, you know better than I do that the General Assembly here is, well, tilted to the other side. I mean, there are more Republicans in the Senate than Democrats, more Republicans in the House than Democrats. What chance does this have of passing?
Well, you know, we got some new blood in there. I'm cautiously optimistic. And, you know, I come from a somewhat unique experience with the labor movement. So I was raised in a union household. I'm the daughter of a building trades member, operating engineers, Local 542. You know, I was illegally fired for attempting to organize a union in my own workplace. I've worked for the steelworkers and the Teamsters that represent both private and public sector unions, and the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers that represents exclusively public sector unions. So a lot of times I hear from people on the other side of the aisle, more specifically, I'm not anti-union. I love those building trades. I just don't like the public sector union. And so for me, I can come at it from a perspective of, you know, those, first of all, building trades have public sector workers.
Yes.
And two, you know, that's sort of, you know, kind of ridiculous messaging that teachers and clerical workers and stuff don't deserve a good wage and a fair working condition.
Right. No, I mean, that argument, you know, the guy who runs the Commonwealth Foundation, that's his argument to me all the time. You know, oh, no, I'm not against the building trades. They do it right. It's all those public sectors, the government unions we're against.
Yeah, exactly.
And what that's meant to do, and you're spot on in pulling
it's
this
divide.
Out,
it's
is to divide and conquer. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, it also, like, there's a wide variety of workers that we have in the public sector. You know, we have firefighters who run into those burning buildings. Those are union workers. We have 911 operators who are taking calls and, you know, dealing with, like, the worst things that happen in our communities and sitting on the phone with people. You know, we have fish and boat commission officers that keep us safe when we're fishing and kayaking on the river. Those are all public sector workers. So you can't just say that, oh, well, they just sit in an office. They don't need a union. No, that's not true either.
But even if they do sit, look, you're
even if they do sit, yeah, you and I are on the same page on that. But it's just like, even if they do sit in an office, they deserve all sorts of protection. But, like, they tend to put it into this box, and, you know, it really bugs me.
But the reason I bring up the Commonwealth Foundation and all the anti-worker groups that are out there is it's such an easy argument, you know, it's put out there simply to divide and simply to say, well, one's good and the other's bad. And I'm going, no. It's a good concept. It works. And when we do it right, and when there's not a constant attack on them, everybody does better because everyone does better.
Yep. An injury to one is an injury in all.
You know, but we used to understand that as a working class. And, you know, I can't tell you how many people that I think back to the 80s when I grew up as a kid. And there was this mentality, you know, hooray for me and the heck with everybody else. And I know that's been from the beginning of time, but it was really, really prevalent to me in the 80s with, you know, Gordon Gekko, greed is good, and the one who has the most toys when they die wins. You know, that kind of BS rhetoric. And we got away from that concept of solidarity. We got away from the idea that an injury to one is an injury to all.
Yeah. And, you know, all those clerical workers, you know, the teachers are preparing kids to make sure that they can be in the building trade someday, that they learn the math skills and all the other skills that they need to be a building trades member. And there are workers that are, you know, processing the taxes that we use to pay for those infrastructure projects. Everything is all connected. If you don't take care of everybody, it just falls apart. It all falls apart.
And this is one of these things I've been talking about this all week because the Teamsters Union is setting up an apprenticeship program along with employers to train dock workers and truck drivers, and which I think
great.
Is a fantastic thing. In fact, we had Rick Crow on from the Teamsters the other night talking about, you know, this new apprenticeship program. And, you know, I like to talk about how the wonderful things that unions do and the educational opportunities there that are there. And, oh, by the way, the living wages, the good health care, the good retirement. You know, and we were talking about it this week with some of the people in the class, and it was one of these moments where you go, you know, why hasn't there been a revolt? Because people are struggling to make ends meet. Their health care is crap. There is no retirement at the end of most of these jobs. And it's just curious to me that, you know, people aren't flocking to the idea that, you know what, we need to get unions back in a big way. That idea that, well, they were just something 100 years ago. No, we need them now.
We do. I think, you know what, I think the kids are smarter than we are. You know, I talk to high school students, and they are more and more aware of the position that we put them in by destroying unions over the last, you know, 20, 30 years. They're seeing it. You know, they're seeing it. I'm seeing it with my, you know, student loan debt and not having a job that paid enough to, you know, to afford anything.
Yeah, because you've got pretty pretty sizable educational credentials, an attorney, you know, communications and stuff. You did what you were told you had to do, work hard, play by the rules. And for sadly, most people, they don't get very far ahead.
Yep. And then, you know, and then I get attacked during the campaign for being a renter. I was like, well, I have a mortgage payment. It's my student loan debt. You know, that's what happens now. I can't afford a mortgage.
No, that's the other sad thing about this. And, you know, that's kind of off topic, but, you know, the reality is all of this plays together. This has been all part of this whole neoliberal agenda, you know, the trade stuff, the privatization stuff. You know, as we've gutted social spending, as we've gutted spending on education and slashed taxes for the wealthy and big corporations, what we've done is we've redistributed wealth from working class people who used to get reasonable educational opportunities, who used to get decent wages, who used to get good health care, good retirement plans, and we've given it to the largest billionaire class in history.
Yes. And we need to start, you know, we need to start turning the tide. And that's why, you know, the Workplace Freedom Act is designed to do that. It's just designed that right that we have to make it easier for people to exercise their right to join a union.
So the path forward, how do we do this? How do we make sure that this isn't just a one day feel good kind of, hey, we introduced it. How do we push this forward? Because, look, I have talked to some Republicans who say, you know, we do need to have the pendulum swing back a little bit into the way of workers, because the power has just gone way too far to the power of employees. How do we move this along?
I think, you know, everybody calling their individual legislator, I'm going to work on promoting this, but just yet, like you said, not one day is just ruling this out of these are public sector workers. These are why they should be unionized. This is what their union is doing for them and for you. And we need to be protecting them, and then we need this piece of legislation. Thankfully, I am on the Labor Committee in the Senate, so I get to work on this firsthand, so I'm excited about that. So we can, hopefully all together, we can make this happen.
No, there's a lot of stuff in this. You know, let me ask you kind of last line of questioning, because I think this is an important piece of legislation, and kind of understanding what it is and why it's important is really important. You know, the card check part, I know a lot of my conservative friends have been trained like Pavlovian dogs to whenever they hear the card check part of it, you know, they start to foam and get all you know, just if you remember, you know, Joe the unlicensed plumber came through Harrisburg specifically to say card check was bad. And, you know, it was funny. Quick story. They showed up with a voting booth, and mm-hmm. they wanted people to vote whether they wanted card check or not. And there were a bunch of union members who showed up who wanted to vote, and they wouldn't let us vote.
Oh, of course.
Which I thought was cute, because, you know, they were expecting a big outpour of, you know, it's central Pennsylvania. They were expecting an outpour of people who were against it. And there were like 500, you know, union members who showed up ready to vote. And it was interesting. So the question that I have is, you know, when you're talking to somebody who really doesn't know one way or another, make the case for card check.
So we have the right to form a union. Right now, if people sign up those cards, always sign a card saying they want a union, that's saying that they want to be represented. They want to work together for better wages and working conditions. We put an additional step where they have to file for an election. There's a costly process that we as taxpayers pay for to have an election when they already said they want it.
Right.
So it's not taking away those workers' voice and whether or not they want a union. It's not forcing them on it. They still get to pick and they still get to sign, and it just removes that extra step for them to exercise their right.
But the other side would say, Lindsay, that that you're taking the employer's right and their voice away by not being able to hire one of these union-busting firms to come in and harass the employees and intimidate them into not voting for
it. Well, I guess I don't get that. You know, they're using their power, they're using our taxpayer money to silence workers. And that's just not an argument I get swayed by.
But I've always said is if the employer didn't cause a problem, the workers wouldn't seek a union. If we had perfect model employers, you wouldn't need unions. If they didn't cheat their workers, if they didn't have deplorable working conditions, if they didn't play favorites, if they didn't do all the things that people complain about, if they, you know, didn't, you know, shift the cost of health care onto their backs and destroy their retirement, you wouldn't need unions. Just
exactly.
Kind of a thought. Maybe a message for the employers out there.
Exactly. I mean, I worked at an employer I loved for 4 years, and it wasn't until we no longer had a voice in what was happening with the direction of the organization did me and my coworkers get together and try to form a union. That's exactly what happened to me.
Yeah, it is exactly that. So anything we can do to help move this along, we want to be right there with you to help push this through. And I look forward to talking to you again real soon as we fight to get this moved.
All right, sounds good. Thank you so much, Rick.
Good stuff, Senator Williams. Appreciate the time. And again, you know, this is one of those things that, as I've been saying for years, you need a union. Whether you think you do or not, you do. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. It's desperate times, so desperate measures we explore. Marching on the Capitol to lobby leaders for involvement. 3,000 people screaming out. Where's our government? Lawsuits and arraignments. Members.